You're listening to How To 20-Something, the only podcast that helps both men and women navigate their 20s and learn how to adult across all aspects of their lives. We're going to be focusing on career, relationships, finances, fitness, nutrition, and all of the common challenges and obstacles a typical 20-something will face in this post-college life and what to do about it. I'm your host, Jess Diamond, and I am the CEO and founder of Jess Diamond Coaching, where I help young professionals get their shit together, gain their confidence, and own their life. No one prepares you for this adulting world, so allow me to help you feel like you are no longer a chicken running around with its head cut off, and that you actually know what the hell is going on and what your next step to take is. Welcome to How To 20-Something. Welcome back to How To 20-Something. Today's episode was inspired by a conversation I had with one of my clients a little over a month ago, and it's a message I see portrayed across social media all too often, and that is training with your cycle. This is obviously in regards to my females because we operate on a 25 to 35 day cycle, whereas men operate on a 24 hour cycle, meaning men wake up feeling about the same hormonally every single day of their lives. Post-puberty, that is, and factors such as sleep, food, and stress will affect their gym performance, but not their hormones. The consistency that they have in their hormone levels on a day-by-day aspect helps them to be able to recover better and work out with similar intensities from one week to the next, and just overall be able to predict their lives better. Must be nice. Females, on the other hand, wake up like a different person every day. You never know what the day is going to hold because our hormones are constantly moving into different phases. This affects so many things in regards to our performance, mood, energy levels, cravings, food requirements, view of our body, mind gremlins, and so much more. And honestly, these drastic differences in what goes on internally is why I believe females should only work with female nutrition coaches. Men can work with whomever they want because they're much simpler creatures, but women cannot. A male nutrition coach can do all the research and reading and working with females as he wants, but he will never, ever, ever know what it feels like to be a female across the different phases of our cycle, and how our brain distorts all of our behaviors based on what's changing hormonally, how we could look like the exact same person, but see an entirely different body in the mirror, depending on the day or week. One of my clients used to work with a male nutrition coach and quit him 6 weeks in because he didn't understand the mind games that went on in her head because he is not a female. They just don't get it. But back to the topic of this episode, I want to dive into the truth behind training with your cycle and what's actually happening versus the crap social media is telling you. The conversation I was having with this client was brought up by her during one of our sessions, and she was simply asking how she could alter her workouts to fit her cycle as a way to get the most out of her workouts. Backstory is she went off birth control 10 months prior, and we've been tracking her cycles, her mood, bloating, sleep, just about everything to see if anything is out of whack, and that way we can refer back to what happened, say, 3 months ago. Now that everything has been consistent for quite some time, she wanted to take her workouts up a notch and use them effectively based on what she saw on social media with being able to strength train according to the phase you are in throughout your cycle. And I told her my honest opinion and belief and related it back to the work we've already done together. We have worked to become a strategic intuitive eater, meaning when you first work with me, if you're coming to me for health and nutrition, we build up your awareness around the food going into your body, how it makes you feel in terms of energy, bloat, wanting to take a nap, any cramping or gas, basically getting yourself back into your body since we lose that sense as we grow up. If you've ever looked at a child's plate and watch them pick at their food and then stop eating when they're done eating instead of finishing everything in front of them, then you know you used to have that ability too. I was notorious for eating one bite of a cupcake and not wanting any more, or even more so, leaving one bite of food left simply because I didn't want it anymore. And my mom was so far removed from that intuitive sense that she thought it was ridiculous and would always say, "How do you do that? How do you leave one bite? Just finish it." And I would reply with, "I was done." So if you grew up in a clean plate club family or you couldn't leave the dinner table until you finished your meal, then you were taught to ignore your own body's signal and that wasting food is really bad. You were also taught to eat because it was a certain time and not because you were hungry for a meal. Most of us grew up this way, so it's something we now have to unlearn. And that starts with recognizing how the food you're eating is making you feel, which pairs with listening to your body's hunger cues. As in, what is the first sign your body is telling you it's almost time to eat, and planning your next meal out accordingly. The strategic part is once that in-body experience is back, we can refine what it is you're eating from protein, carbs, fibers, fat, etc. Because now you know how to listen to your body and the way it's communicating to you when you go to focus in on one of these other food categories. It's how we understand how to eat for your unique body and how to gradually increase some healthier choices and wanting to eat those choices because now the sugar processed foods don't make you feel so great anymore. And you're probably thinking, Jess, this episode is called Training for Your Cycle and not Eating for Your Body, and you're right. But they go hand in hand because it's easy to start this awareness factor with the foods you're eating since you eat multiple times throughout the day, whereas your workout might be once a day, if that. It might not even be once a day. So once you know how to listen to your body's needs, it becomes easier to listen to some other methods of communication, like how your sleep requirements change, when the pimples might show up, when you need more carbs and food in general, and then in regards to training or exercising, when to dial it back a little because your ability to recover is worse and you have less energy and more soreness, as well as when you can ramp things up. They all relate to one another, and they all change based on where you're at in your menstrual cycle. So, when you know how to listen to your body, you're also able to cater your workouts to what you feel is happening. And as a result, you will naturally adapt your workouts to your cycle, as well as when other parts of your life go awry. Because your workouts are a form of self-care. For example, the week leading up to my bleed week, I am a lot more hungry, I experience a lot more soreness and inflammation, and have less of a grip on my emotions, so everyone bothers me, and I also need way more sleep and naps than usual. Not to mention, I usually experience really bad bloating and body dysmorphia during this week as well. How this translates to the way I show up for myself during this week is I will allow myself to eat more carbs and give in to some more cravings. I still prioritize protein and hit my protein goals of 1 gram per 1 pound of body weight, but I also know my cravings are telling me I need some more nutrients and energy because of the process that is about to take place. I also have the capabilities to block my calendar off so I can take some afternoon naps or not attend a networking event, knowing I need a lot more rest. For my workouts, I will not push the extra weight, and I'll also take a lot more active recovery days, so I'll probably strength train twice that week with 3 days of rest in between where I'll walk or do yoga or mobility. I'll also not be hard on myself if I don't love the way I look or if my workouts aren't feeling too great, and it's mainly because my mind gremlins ramp up, and I'm also retaining a lot more water than usual. So this is when you'll see me in baggier shirts instead of crop tops and sports bras, and know that this is just what this week brings for me. But as long as I continue to show up for myself in the way my body needs and not be mad at it and not talk down to it, then I know I am doing what I can given the time of the month that I am in. Then, after day one or two of my period, I feel good as new. I feel fit, energized, strong, and not very hungry. By week two, I can push the intensity a bit more and get away with an extra exercise or extra workout, knowing I have a better ability to recover from my workouts. The different phases of my cycle aren't an exact 7 days, but because I know my body and what it's communicating, I can literally feel my rise in estrogen levels and will take advantage of this surge in energy. I also can get away with less sleep. Although it isn't ideal, but instead of requiring a full 8 hours, I can survive without a nap on about 6 to 7. Now, everyone is different. Everyone's period is different. If you're on birth control, that's also going to be different. I gave you my example with when I feel my worst and best, and that probably isn't going to be the same for you, which is why it's important to develop a healthy, nurturing relationship to your body and to the food you eat so you can best curate your workouts and the intensity and frequency in your workouts for you. I have clients who experience lower energy and soreness during their bleed week, and I have clients who feel completely unaffected by their cycle. So it really depends on what your hormones are doing and how you respond in accordance to these changes across the given month. Remember, there is an individual variance in everything, so don't base your actions off of the social media influencer you follow who is preaching that you should train in this specific way for a specific week in your cycle. Just because it works for that one person does not mean it's going to work for you as well. And while we're on this topic of training for your cycle, I want to bring up how the workouts you're doing is impacting your hormones. Because the style of exercise, the intensity of it, the time of day you're doing it, and how often you're doing it will also impact your hormones, honestly, for the worse, as I'll explain. First off, no one should be doing HIIT or cardio all 7 days a week. You are an adrenaline junkie and chasing the cortisol high if this is you, but you're also going to burn yourself out and push yourself further away from the results you want. In February, I flew up to Boston to go to wedding dress shopping with my sister, and she took Friday off of work, and we didn't need to be ready until 10:30 a.m. And she said she was waking up for a 5:30 boxing class, so 5 hours before we needed to be ready, and said I could go with her. My response was, no thanks, I prefer not to spike my cortisol levels that early in the morning. Because I know if I did an intense fitness class under fluorescent lights that I would feel like a pile of garbage by 2 p.m. Gym lighting in general is so bad for you, but we can't change that, as you need to be able to see, and those bright lights do a great job of that. But we can move into what you can change, which is the workouts you're doing, and the timing of them, and understanding how they are affecting you internally. I've already made an episode on choosing what exercise type is going to be the best for you in regards to your goals, but what I didn't touch on is how the type of exercise you're choosing will affect your hormones. Your hormones are going to be negatively affected with intense and excessive exercise in general, as I mentioned in the episode on 7 signs you're overtraining. So regardless of what I'm about to share, having a nice balance of everything with a prioritization in independent strength training is always going to be your best bet and healthiest road. At the end of the day, doing too much cardio in your fitness regimen is going to have negative repercussions to your hormones. Men can get away with this because they reset every single day. Women do not. You're going to increase your cortisol levels like my sister does with her 5:30 a.m. boxing class. Cortisol is good to have spike in the morning as that's your energy source, but extremely spiking it because of an intense fitness class will lead you to an increase in stress and anxiety. It's going to disrupt your sleep. It's going to give you irregular menstrual cycles and the drop-off dead feeling by mid-afternoon. Rigorous regimens without rest and recovery will also disrupt your cycles. So if you're listening and all you do is group training classes and go all out 5 to 7 days a week, you are not helping yourself progress at all. Your intense and frequent workouts also lead to adrenal fatigue as you're putting an excessive strain on your adrenal glands, and that's not a good thing to have. If you love your cardio class, consider moving it to a weekend day that's later in the morning, because first thing in the morning during your work week is too much of a spike in cortisol, which will lead to that energy crash by mid-afternoon, and doing it after work will disrupt your sleep because of that cortisol spike too late in the day that'll prevent you from being able to fall asleep. Or if you're thinking, I can still fall asleep, I'm here to tell you it's decreasing your quality of sleep. If you're someone who has been consistently taking group fitness classes in the morning, please reconsider doing this for the sake of your longevity and sustainability and health goals. It's only going to invite the fat on your body to stay there and add more because of how stressed your body is with the workouts you're doing. If you're thinking of someone who has a great body and only does early morning cardio classes, then please also know that genetics, diet, stress levels, and overall lifestyle will play a significant role in how exercise affects hormonal imbalances. Not to mention that you don't know what they're doing outside of the gym or what's happening to them internally. This is also what I mentioned in 7 Signs You're Overtraining. Regardless of who you are and why you're working out, listening to your body is going to present you with the best results from your workouts in the long term, because you're going to naturally adapt your workouts to your changing hormonal needs. So if you're doing the same thing at the same intensity all month long, you are at risk for the negative repercussions exercise has on your hormones. Not to mention that everyone's cycle is different and your performance is also based on so many other factors, as I mentioned at the beginning of the episode. Meaning, If you go into the gym saying, oh, it's week two, so I can push myself harder this week, and only hold it to that standard and ignore the crap sleep you got the night before or the fight you had with your partner or a work deadline stressing you out, then you are not actually helping your body by following this thought process. Again, relating it back to listening to your body and understanding the impact your external life has on your gym life. But if you're listening and are thinking, but what would a generic perfect training cycle look like? I'm going to give you that information so you don't go down a social media rabbit hole and get misconstrued information. I just wanted to make it very clear first that the truth behind training with your cycle actually has little to do with your actual cycle and more to do with intuitively training for your body's needs based on what your body is telling you. So whether you're going to stick with one regimen or vary across different exercise types, this is how your workouts will be impacted, providing all other factors are controlled and consistent, which they aren't, and they almost will never be. But regardless, in your menstrual phase, when you begin bleeding, you might feel more fatigue, cramping, lower energy levels. So lower that intensity of your workouts is how you're going to best suit your body's needs. This is lighter cardio, slower runs, maybe swimming or yoga, lifting lighter weights, but just decreasing the intensity in everything you're doing because there's a lot else happening within your body at that time. In your follicular phase, your estrogen levels are going to begin to rise, meaning you'll probably experience an increase in energy and can push your body a bit more in terms of intensity. So faster cardio, heavier weights. When you're ovulating, you're reaching your peak estrogen levels and then it starts to decline. Prior to that decline, you are going to be at your best performance. Again, providing all else things in your life are stable. This is probably when you'll hit a PR at the gym or on a run, when you feel a lot less sore after some similar workouts. You can just push things a little bit more than what you otherwise could during your other phases. And then in the luteal phase, your estrogen drops and progesterone begins to rise, bringing back fatigue, mood swings, bad body image, cravings, increased water retention, and your workouts are going to be at more of a moderate intensity. So think the average between your bleed week and your ovulation week. And then that premenstrual phase, so right before you start to bleed, everything is dropping. All your energy will feel gone, you'll feel a lot more sore, a lot more irritable, and you're just going to want to take care of yourself during this time. This should be more walks, less intensity, and lowering your stress as much as you can, like doing yoga or meditation. But again, if you develop a healthy relationship with your body, you'll be able to easily identify where you're at in your cycle, what you can expect from your workouts and recovery, and also give yourself a bit more grace when you are at the weaker parts of your cycle. And not base it only off of a 7-day interval, since a lot of female cycles don't actually abide by that. I know mine doesn't. I'm not saying women have not experienced great success with this cycle syncing mentality. I'm just saying there's not much scientific evidence to support it, but also you'll naturally perform in this way when you train intuitively. I hope that all makes sense, and you jump on the bandwagon to taking care of yourself based on what your body is telling you, but that's what I have in regards to my thoughts on how to train with your cycle. If you have any questions, hit me up. My email is in the show notes. It's always going to be in the show notes. But otherwise, this concludes another episode of How To 20-Something. If you liked what you heard, if you agree or even disagree with what I said, if a friend has asked you about this topic, then send it along. Share it on social media and tag me at coach.justdiamond when you do. And I will be in your headphones again next week with another brand new episode.